This will be the last section. So let's continue. Zechariah. The teaching material C4, the last part, from chapter 12 to chapter 14. It's talking about the second coming of Christ and the establishment of his kingdom. So these three chapters is a little bit very more profound. And also these three chapters related to the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, the second part of the book of Daniel. And let us try to understand whatever we can understand and to gain some spiritual cultivation from these three chapters. However, related to the prophecy part, maybe it takes time to understand that. And chapter 12 to chapter 14, from chapter 12, number 8, chapter 12, verse 1 to 9. Chapter 12, verse 1 to 9. It's talk about God will defend Jerusalem. Let's see, especially verse 1. The burden of the law against the Israelite, thus is the law who stretched out the heaven, laid the foundation of the earth, and formed the spirit of man within him. So the Bible specially emphasizes the Lord who stretched out the heaven, laid the foundation of earth, means he's the creator, means he is in control of his creation. And his creation including man. So he formed the spirit of man within him. And verse 2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness and to all the surrounding people. Drunkenness means if you have an alcohol, right? You try drink several cups of alcohol when you drive a car. Your car, so sometimes is what? Weaving, right? In the road, and you have no feeling. So verse 2 say, Jerusalem will become a cup of drunkenness to all surrounding the people. When they seized again Jordan and Jerusalem. So this is a prophecy that eventually people is going to take, is going to attack the Israelite, right? Because Jerusalem referring to the center of their belief. And in the last days, according to the prophecy in the Revelation, or what we can understand here, in the last days, there will be war in Jerusalem. And verse 3, you see chapter 12, verse 3. And it shall happen in that day, I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all people. All who would brave it away will surely be cut in pieces. Through all nations of the earth are gathered against it. So all nations of the earth is going to gather against the Jerusalem. Right now it's called talk about in the Old Testament, the chosen people, right? The Israelite. Eventually, a lot of people are going to surrounding the country and try to defeat them. But if you look into the reality, it seems step by step it's going to be fulfilled. You look into the Palestine, right? They have a conflict with Jerusalem, with the Israelite. And this conflict is not only the racial conflict. Most important is this is a conflict of their religious belief. And this conflict is not easy to be resolved because religious belief is so much different. The Israelites believe only one true God, according to the Old Testament in Judaism. And the surrounding country, right, they all worship Muslim. They are all Muslim, right? And the belief is different. So the situation in between Israel and the surrounding country is, and Palestine is so much difficult to resolve is because of their religion. And eventually, it will become the starting point of their conflict. As what we mentioned yesterday, right? The temple of God was built in Jerusalem. And the site of God's temple was built. Right now, there was a mosque of Muslim being built there. So all the surrounding country, their goal is to regain the control of Jerusalem so that they can build the temple there. Because that was become the foundation of their Muslim, right? So Jerusalem become the origin of Christianity. Jerusalem become the capital of Judaism. And Jerusalem become, right now, also one of the important center of Muslim. So Jerusalem become three different kind of religion. They all focus on Jerusalem. Also, chapter 12, if we try to understand, it's very possibly, if we interpret the meaning literally, very possibly, it's talking about in the last days, a lot of people are going to come and then try to conquer the Israelite. You know the 1967, right? There was a six-day war erupted. And from Egypt, from Jordan, from the surrounding country, they have a goal. They try to eliminate the Israelite. But the Israelite, I think by the help of God, they were able to win over the war in 6 days. And that was in 1967, right? And later on, there are many, many different kind of war, but they all can overcome them. So this is the chapter 12. God will defend the Jerusalem from verse 1 to verse 9. Especially we read verse 9. Verse 8, chapter 12, verse 8. Verse 7. The Lord will save the tent of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitant of Jerusalem shall not become greater than that of Judah. Verse 8. In that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitant of Jerusalem, the one who is feeble among them. In that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. Verse 9. And it shall be in that day they will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. So all nations will come against Jerusalem. So this is right now happening. All the surrounding country in Israel, they try to destroy the Israelite. So this is chapter 12, verse 1 to 9. But that will be the darkest moment, and also that will be the brightest moment spiritually. Because before Jesus' second coming, there will be war erupted in the canon, right? But that will also be a time that God will save the Israelite, according to the prophecy, especially in the book of Romans. Let us see the book of Romans. I talk about what will be the future of the Israelite, the book of Romans. Romans chapter 9. We're going to come back to Zechariah chapter 12. Romans chapter 9, verse 2. That I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. Verse 3. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. So Paul was very much concerned about the salvation of his own countrymen, which means the Israelite, the chosen people in the Old Testament time. Verse 4, whom are the Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenant, the giving, the law, the service of God, and the promises? So all these five different very precious things were given to the Israelite in the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, they are very privileged people. They have been chosen by God. And then when will they be saved? Jerusalem, when will they be saved? If you read Romans chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. So in the last days, all the Israelites will be saved. It was a mystery in the time of Paul. But for us, right now, the mystery already been revealed to us, so it's not a mystery anymore. But in the generation of Paul, it was a mystery. So verse 25, what was the mystery? Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in heart in part has happened to the Israelite until the fullness of the Gentile has come in. So the number for those who will be saved in Gentile, Gentile means non-Jews, there will be a certain number. When the number has been fulfilled, right? And the door of salvation will be closed to the Gentile. And the door of salvation will be opened to the Israelite. So in that moment, right, in that moment, what is going to happen? 26, so all the Israel will be saved, as it is written. A deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away that ungodliness from Jacob, verse 27. For this is my covenant with them, then I will take away their sin. Oh, so it's a prophecy, right? Even though their heart was hardened, or their heart is hardened, but the whole family of Israelite will be saved in the last days. This is a prophecy. God moved Paul to reveal the secret to him. And if we look into the reality, very possibly the Israelite will accept the TJC doctrine the easiest way. Do you know why? Because most of the churches, they preach what? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But for the Jews, they can accept that. For the Jews, they only believe only through God. Only through God, according to the Old Testament. And our TJC's doctrine is only true God. Oh, right? Baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The name of Father is Jesus. The name of Son is Jesus. So our belief, only one true God, is not Trinity. Exactly the same belief of the Jews. This is the first one. Oh. So to them, to accept TJC is the easiest way. The second point is Sabbath. If you want to convince the Jews to keep Sunday, it's very difficult. For 1,000 years, they have been keeping the Sabbath, right? And Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. But when they come to TJC, of a sudden, everybody keeps Sabbath, right? From Friday evening to Saturday evening. Only the way we keep the Sabbath is under the grace of God. We don't observe the Sabbath according to the rule and regulation of Mosaic law. But we keep Sabbath. Oh. So to them, to keep Sabbath is good. Oh, so it's the second reason. It's easy for them to accept TJC. And the third reason is we speak in tongue. Or we pray with the Holy Spirit. How come it's easy for them? You look into the history in the book of Acts chapter 2. When they start to speak in tongue, right? Everybody was so shocked. What happened? And then Peter quote the Old Testament of Joel and say, this is the prophecy of the Old Testament. After Peter explained the downpouring of the Holy Spirit is fulfilled in the Old Testament, and then they accept, and they receive the baptism for 3,000 people. So today, when we pray, receiving the Holy Spirit, if they want to question, we open the same Bible for them. This is a prophecy of book of Joel. In the last days, people are going to receive the Holy Spirit. They are going to saw the vision. They are going to speak in tongue, right? And they are going to prophesy. So these are the three reasons why it's easy to convert Jews to TJC instead of most other denomination, right? The first one is the concept of only one true God. The second is the Sabbath. The third one is the Holy Spirit. So in the last days, they are going to all repent and being converted. And how can it's possible? Their heart is so hardened, but all of a sudden, they will repent. How can it's possible? It's absolutely possible. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitant of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And then they will look on me whom they pierce. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourn for his own son, grieve for him as one grieve for his firstborn. Verse 10 first talk about the promise of downpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's the spirit of grace and supplication. Then the later part talk about they are all going to be mourn, right? Mourn about what? Like their firstborn son have died. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. So, just like the day of Pentecost, right? About 50 days ago, they crucified Jesus Christ. Their heart was so hardened. But after the downpouring of the Holy Spirit, Peter stood up and proclaimed the message. The one you crucified already resurrected. The one you crucified is Jesus Christ. So you have to repent. And the promised Holy Spirit already come. Then what happened? By the power of the Holy Spirit, your heart was cut deeply. And then they asked, what should we do? And Peter said, you have to repent to be baptized. So in the last days, according to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, right? God is going to pour down the Holy Spirit into the Israelite, the Jewish people. And this Holy Spirit is going to work exactly the work recorded in Acts chapter 2. So when the Holy Spirit moves in them, and we preach the gospel to them, and their heart will be touched. And they will feel sad about themselves. Because they crucified the Savior, and their heart was hardened. And after they feel sad about themselves, and they will accept Jesus Christ as a Savior. Oh, so this is what chapter 12, we can understand. The house of David will be restored from verse 10 to 14. The house of David, actually, we can interpret in two ways. The first way is the kingship. But in the New Testament, we don't interpret that way. The second way is a spiritual house. So you see the blind man, right? The blind man sitting on the roadside, and the blind man heard other people passing by. And so the blind man asked what's going on. And somebody told him, the man of Nazareth, the Jesus of Nazareth, right now passing by. But this blind man was shouting aloud. What? What did the blind man shout? Son of David, yes. How come this blind man did not say, the man of Nazareth, have mercy on me? Because even though he was blind physically, but his eye, inner sight, his eye is very opened. His eyesight is very sharp. He knew the one passing by him is the Son of David, the Messiah. So he cried, the Son of David, have mercy on me, right? And Jesus says, stop, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I want to regain the sight. So the same thing. Before Jesus' second coming, the David, the king's spiritual kingdom of David, which is the kingdom of God, will be restored. Chapter 12, verse 10 to 14. Now we go into chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 1 to verse 9, is totally 9 verses. It's talk about the sin will be purged and purified. When they repented, when they repent and want to come back to the Lord, then the next step is baptism. So chapter 13, verse 1. In that day, a fountain shall be opened for the house of David. For the house of David also can represent the kingdom of God. For the inhabitant of Jerusalem, we already mentioned Jerusalem has two meanings. The first meaning is spiritual meaning, the true church. The second meaning is physical Jerusalem. For the sin and for uncleanness, right? A fountain shall be opened. The fountain for the forgiveness of sin, to wash away their sin and uncleanness. So this is referring to the water baptism. After they mourn about themselves, after the Holy Spirit moved them, Holy Spirit poured down on them, then the next step is to remove their iniquity and sin through the fountain. And that fountain is the fountain of blood and water. And that means the water baptism. And verse 2 onwards. After they repent and the sin been purged, and God is going to remove all the false prophet, all the idols, because this is in contradiction to worshiping the only one true God. So verse 2 to verse 6, God is going to remove them. And then from chapter 13, verse 7 to 9, is talk about before Jesus' second coming, there will be great fire. Let's see, verse 9, chapter 13, verse 9. And I will bring the one third through the fire, which refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested, and they will call my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. So chapter 13, verse 9, in the last part, they will call upon the name of God, and God will accept them. So that's the Jews were totally converted to Jesus Christ. But before that happened, before the Jews totally convert to Jesus Christ happened, what is going to happen? Verse 8, and all shall come to pass then, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it, right? So two-thirds of the population is going to die, including the Jews. That will be great tribulation, great calamity. Two-thirds is going to die. And because the suffering is so hard, it was like a fire burning on them. So at that moment, it's so painful, they have no way but to repent and accept Jesus Christ. Do you know, when a person's heart is hardened, how can God soften the person's heart? There are two ways. The first way is through the Holy Spirit, just like the day of Pentecost, right? There was no persecution. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down. The second way is through the tribulation. You see the Pharaoh, right? Pharaoh did not allow the Israelites went out of Egypt. The heart was hardened. And eventually, he allowed the people to go. Why? Because the 10 plagues keep on coming. 10 disasters keep on coming. Right, and the last one is the most serious one. All the firstborn being killed. So the Pharaoh knew that he was unable to do anything against God. So let's go. Let you go. The same thing in the last days when God pulled down all this kind of punishment and hard time, like a fire burning the Israelites. The remaining one-third is going to all repent before God. So sometimes it happens to us the same. You know, I know some of the truth seekers, when they are very healthy, they come to the church, but they don't want to believe. They listen to God, a lot of gospel, they don't want to believe. But when in the time they suffer from terminal sickness, cancer, or bankruptcy in the company, or break up of the marriage, and then all of a sudden their heart becomes softened and they convert to Christ. So God has his own means to convert a person to Christ, either by the soft way, the Holy Spirit move a person, or by hard way, the fire burning of a person. Either way, God has his own way if God wants to save a person. So even though the Jewish people are so hardened, but God has his own way to save them. And eventually, they are going to repent, call upon the name of God. We have a sister, her husband is a Jew in North Carolina. Even though the sister experienced a lot of miracles, she has asthma and some kind of allergy. And then, after the baptism, the asthma gone. Asthma gone. The whole life, asthma gone. And allergy, the whole life gone. Even the husband knew this is the work of Jesus Christ. And the husband has gone through some kind of emergency for several times. But the members pray for them. And then he was able to come out of emergencies peacefully. But even though he has so many experiences, he knew Jesus is a Savior. But in his mouth, he refused to admit Jesus is a Savior. Because he said, my mother tell me I'm a Jew. So I have to believe in the Old Testament. But eventually, this is going to be changed before Jesus' second coming. The Spirit of God will move a person, and the hardship, like a fire, is going to burn on them, and they are going to repent and turn to Jesus Christ. This is chapter 13, verse 1 to verse 9. Now, chapter 14. Chapter 14, after all the Jews convert to Christ, right? Then what is going to happen? The second coming of Christ. Right? Before second coming of Christ, the last thing is going to happen, all the Jews will be converted to TJC, the true church. So one day, if you see the gospel being preached to Jerusalem, and it's very close, the time of Jesus' second coming, very close, because this is a prophecy of the Bible. So how long does it take? Don't think about it takes few years. Right now, the travel is so convenient, right? You take the airplane to Jerusalem, it's within 10 hours, you will reach there. Right now, internet is so convenient, right? So if you want to convert the whole Israelite to Jesus Christ, maybe it's within a few days, then it can be done. Through the radio, through the broadcast, through the television, through the internet, right? Through the mass media, a few days, they all can be converted. So don't think it takes a few years to convert them before Jesus' second coming. It's going to happen very soon before Jesus' second coming. So chapter 14 talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Verse 1-3. This is once again the prophecy. The Jerusalem will be besieged, will be surrounded by the enemy. They are going to come and to attack the Jerusalem. This is the focus is Jerusalem. Chapter 14. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided into midst. Verse 2. For I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem, and the city shall be taken, and the house rifled, and the woman ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Verse 3. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fight in the day for the battle. So before Jesus' second coming, according to Matthew chapter 24, right? A lot of different signs is going to happen, right? War is one of them. Earthquake, famine, or different kind of sickness is going to spread around. So the chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, is talk about the war surrounding the Jerusalem. So we are heading towards this day. So superficially speaking, you look into our life become more and more comfortable, right? Technology is more advanced, so we can enjoy all kind of good things in these days, right? If you ask a question, king in the Old Testament time, right, or ancient time, has king ever have a car to ride? No. Right? In the car, you have an air condition, so comfortable. The king riding the chariot, right? The king never saw the vision, the television, right? The king had never have air condition. The king has never have iPhone. The king have never have computer, right? So our enjoyment nowadays is far more superior the ancient time. Superficially speaking, we are more blessed. But from the spiritual point of view, before the second coming of Jesus Christ, that will be the most difficult time. You may heard that the second coming of Jesus, there was third world war. Right? Have you heard about these kind of things? Right? So a lot of people try to prepare themselves how to survive the third world war. Even the year 2002K, right? Year 2K. They are predicting the second coming of Jesus Christ. Also, some of the people, they accumulate a lot of canned food in their basement. But when the 2000K passed, Jesus did not come. So what are you going to do with that canned food? Every day eat starting fish. But the most terrible thing before Jesus' second coming is not the third world war. Do you know? If there's an atomic bomb drop just on top of the Boeing Park Church, what happened? In a split of a second, you all become ashes, evaporate, right? And 10 more atomic bombs coming, no difference. Oh, right? You already die, become ashes, no difference. Oh. So we are scared the most is not the atomic bomb, nuclear war. We are not scared about that. Oh. The best way is the nuclear war just drop on top of your head and you die very instantly without any suffering. Oh, that is the best way to die, right? Yes. If you suffer from the radiation that lose your hair, you want to survive but cannot survive very good. You want to die but you cannot die. That's the most terrible things, right? Oh, so nuclear war explode before ahead of you. That's fine, right? But before the nuclear war break up, what is the most terrible thing? The most terrible thing is what? Spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. Right now, the morality keep on going down, right? And this become a trend. This become a mainstream of culture. Right? Then you want to stand against the tide. You want to stand against the mainstream of the culture. It's so difficult. Oh, you know that yesterday, you did not read the news. Yesterday, the Supreme Court the High Court in California, right? Struck down the proposition number 8, right? Which means same-sex marriage ban is illegal. Oh, which means same-sex marriage should be accepted. Oh, right? So, you know that right now the morality already keep on going down day by day. The reason morality go down is because of what? The people's heart, there is no God. Even though they know God, they have no fear about God. They themselves become God. Oh. So morality keep on coming down. And in this kind of generation, it's difficult to keep the faith. Oh. So this is spiritual warfare. That's the most fearful thing. Oh. So before Jesus' second coming, if you were killed spiritually, even you survive the nuclear war, for what? No purpose, right? Oh. So right now we have to understand, even physically you enjoy a lot of good life, but spiritually this is a very dangerous generation, because before the end of Jesus coming, Satan is going to work fiercely, try to kill your soul, use all different kind of means. Some people even though they don't commit sin, but they love the world. So they keep on pursuing the world. Once you pursue the world, then you leave Jesus Christ. The world and Jesus cannot coexist. Oh, cannot coexist. Jesus Christ, if you love me, you cannot love the world. You did love the world, you cannot love me. So a lot of people keep on pursuing the world. It seems their heaven is in the world. It seems eternal life is in the world. So it seems they are going to live forever in the world. So they put all their totality pursuing the world. That is totally wrong. Do you know? You can live a very simple life and very fulfilled. You can live a very simple life and very peaceful life. You can live a very simple life and very joyful life. It's not necessary. You need to have a lot of material beings. It's not necessary. You need to have a lot of income so your life can be joyful. It's not necessary. But when we put a lot of totality all pursuing in the world, from spiritual point of view, we don't know what we are doing. Really. Our life gradually turn away from God. That will be the great danger. The third danger is what? The first danger is sin. The second danger is attraction of the world. The third danger is what? Changing of your mind. So many different kind of religion, or even so many different kind of denomination, right? Try to brainwash you to change your belief. So once you start to doubt about TJC, the oneness of TJC, then you are in the beginning of deviation. You know, we receive the training here, stand firm on the truth. So the chapter 14 of Zechariah talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ. So this is the very difficult moment. Huh? So verse 4 to verse 8, it's talk about verse 1 to verse 3, Jerusalem was besieged. Verse 4 to verse 8, the Lord's second coming. Verse 4, and in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which face Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two, from the east to the west. And we cannot interpret this verse literally. If we interpret this verse literally, that means Jesus' second coming will start from Jerusalem. No. But our understanding is, when the judgment comes, who will be the first being judged? When the judgment comes, who will be the first to be judged? You don't know. When the judgment comes, who will be the first one to be judged? From the household of God, 神的家起手. And where is the house of God? It's we, you and me. So judgment will come, start from us. So if judgment of come start from us, probably Jesus' second coming, the first is appeal to TJC member. So descend, God is going to descend in Jerusalem. We cannot interpret literally. Because some of the Christians, when they die, they want to bury in the mountain of Jerusalem. Because the Bible says Jesus is coming, first stop is Jerusalem. That's not a right concept. And then, chapter 14, verse 6, it shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light. The light was dimmed. Verse 7, and there shall be one day in which is known the Lord, neither day nor night, but the evening time shall happen, and there will be light. So all the light of sun, moon, and star will disappear. And then there will be a light forever. And that light is God himself. And this is a spiritual light. Because the spiritual kingdom is going to be fulfilled. Verse 8. And in that day shall be that of living water shall flow from Jerusalem half towards the east sea and half of them towards the western sea. We usually interpret the living water as Holy Spirit. John chapter 7. So, before Jesus' second coming, the Holy Spirit is going to come out from Jerusalem. That we know Jerusalem is the true church. And to the east and to the west, the Holy Spirit is going to move in the whole world from Jerusalem, the church of God, the city of God. And verse 9 to 11, and Christ reigned as a king. Before Jesus' second coming, Jesus Christ will reign as a king. Verse 9. And the Lord shall be king all over the earth. In that day it shall be the Lord is one, and his name is one. He's the only one God, and he is will reign all over the earth. Verse 11. And the people shall dwell in Jerusalem, and no longer shall there be utter destruction. But Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Actually, this is talk about true church, because the material kingdom already been destroyed. And verse 12 to 15, the nations punished. So in the second coming of Jesus Christ, those who are not worshiping God eventually will be punished. And the last one, 5, the remnant worship the Lord. Verse 21. In that day, the holiness to the Lord shall be engraved in the bell of the house. 21. Yes, every part in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness to the Lord host. Everyone who sanctified shall come and take them and cook them. In that day, they shall be no longer being cut a night in the house of the Lord host. So verse 20 and 21 try to sum up before Jesus' second coming, what will be the most important thing? Holiness. Oh, before Jesus' second coming, the most important thing is holiness. So in the Old Testament, God proclaimed, you had to be holy because of what? In the Old Testament, God proclaimed, you have to be holy because of what? Huh? Because God is holy, yes. So when the holy God is coming, the most important thing is what? We have to be holy. So when the most holy God come, we are not holy, then we are finished. Right? Because you cannot see him. If you cannot see him, then you go to the other direction. Oh, so in the last days, before Jesus can come in, what is the most important thing? Keep ourselves holy. Pursue holiness. Loving God and loving man. That is the way we prepare to see our Lord. 1 minute. Any question? The later part, chapter 11 to 14, actually, is very profound. Okay, let's pray inside us.